Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the TNT News Hour. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff. I'll be with you for the next hour, and we're going to be talking about some things that you will not hear on the mainstream. That is the mainstream media, if you want to call it that. Today is February 6th, all across the country. All around the world, except for the Far East, they're already into February 7th. Welcome all the listeners around the world. Right now, I'm very certain the primary elections that are going on, that the whole world is watching the United States of America and wondering what in God's name are we thinking. Now, I'm not going to get into criticizing your vote. That's not what this is about. But we want to kind of acknowledge that this election so far is nothing but a runaway train. Why do I say that? Well, we had a very disproportionate vote in Iowa. That was the first of the caucuses across the country. And mysteriously, Barack Obama defeated Hillary Clinton. Now, the grassroots candidate, Ron Paul, seemed to have garnered overwhelming support around the country. And the exit polls in Iowa stated very clearly that there was about a 90% rating for Ron Paul, popularity-wise. In other words, people said, I'm going to vote for Ron Paul, or I voted for Ron Paul. And yet he ended up with a small percentage of the vote, actually less than 10%. What the actual percentage is really doesn't mean anything because these numbers are fudged. Now, the media fudges the numbers, the polling places fudge the numbers, the election commissions, the secretaries of state that run the elections fudge the numbers. There is corruption. Now, how do we know there's corruption? Is this just sour grapes? Well, I didn't vote for anyone in the state of Iowa, so I can tell you that I was not part of that, and I was not a witness to it. But the information that comes out over the media, and, you know, they let some of this information out, like, well, the exit polls said Ron Paul was staunchly ahead. And yet we see the reverse when the results come out. How is that? You know, that's like reporting, well, it's sunny today in Central Florida, and everybody who was just outside comes in soaking wet. Well, how is it that you got wet? Well, the weatherman said it was sunny out. I mean, these are the dichotomies that they throw at us on a daily basis. And it only takes a small bit of reason, a small bit of logic, the smallest amount of spiritual discernment to see that there's a game being played here, a game to control your mind, a game to control your wallet, and what contents may or may not be in your wallet, a game to control your bank account, a game to control your life and the lives of your loved ones, your family and your friends, your business associates, and to do it to any anyone if it can put a dollar in their own pockets. Now, whose interest would it serve to corrupt an election? Well, obviously, it would serve the interest of those running for the particular office being voted upon by the masses. It would serve certain corporate interests whose backup capital, inducements, bribes. They like to call it lobbying. Lobbying is a nice word. It's a friendly word for pimping and pandering. They have laws against that. But when you do it in Washington, D.C., it's legal. When it involves millions and millions of dollars, even billions of dollars, it's legal. So what you have is legal prostitution. You have politicians catering to the whims of the big corporations that are just bent on getting legislation passed to give you drugs that will numb you down and dumb you down, make you insensitive or dispassionate about any issue, to make you apathetic, to make you lazy, or even fearful, or psychotic. That's what the drug companies do. They definitely make you sick. Any homeopathic physician will tell you that the drug companies manufacture toxins, that anything sold as a medicine is really a toxin to shock the system out of a certain condition and put it in another. And these untested drugs and these toxins either accumulate in your body or tear your body apart. Seldom do they heal or result in healing. And if they do result in healing, it's more a masking of the symptoms than it is actually bringing about 100% sound health. And then they're against those that would provide you with an alternative. Provide you with a choice. You see, voting is a choice. The concept of advertising should be a choice. But when you are witnessing the airing of 90% of the airtime that they spend on commercials on public television and radio, what you are seeing is the mind control machine. You're seeing the pharmaceutical companies 90% of the time talking to you about illness, talking to you about unsound health, talking to you about how you will be happier if you take their product. And that might be a product that causes you to increase the size of your private parts or increase the longevity and performance of your private parts, which is supposed to be seductive and get you a better mate or to make your mate happy. Of course, they don't tell you what the side effects of those drugs are, but I can imagine if you're taking something to lose weight or to stop a headache and it gives you diarrhea and other problems, maybe the headache's the better way to go. Now, these are the kinds of people that are paying the politicians behind the scenes. So they have all these secret agendas that they're pushing. And you think, well, this is my chance to right the wrong. This is my chance to fix the problem by voting for someone. And then we enter into all these anomalies with these elections. Ballots are cast on paper. And then the machines that made the paper had imperfections, and it couldn't be determined that you punched out the little, what they like to call chads. I never heard the term before until the bogus 2000 election that prevented Al Gore from the presidency. Not that I was a proponent of Al Gore, but he had clearly won the vote in Florida and had it stolen out from under his feet. Now, and with the aid of the Justice Department, who we know is also corrupt. See, we're talking about corruption here, and we're talking about these corporate interests that finance the whole thing for their own enrichment, for their own benefit. It would be one thing if they were giving all of us jobs and we were sharing in this great wealth. I think we could maybe look the other way at some of this corruption. But when they shut down the companies and basically lay people off or fire them or just leave them hanging with no explanation whatsoever, raid their corporate pension funds, and a myriad of other anomalies, we have a situation there where we cannot actually determine what is really, really going on until it affects us to the point where we get off our rear ends and say, you know, enough is enough. I'm not going to deal with this anymore. I'm not going to take this anymore. Now, we're witnessing corruption in the elections. Why? Because these interests collectively have a candidate selected, okay, the Bilderberg Group, which is a group of Illuminati families and the guests that they invite, somewhere between a total of 125 and 130 people meet in secret locations annually, and they decide who's going to be the next president of the United States or who's going to be the next prime minister of Great Britain or where they're going to start a war or what they're going to do to the gas prices or how they're going to create inflation or a collapse of the economy, where gold is going to be, what other commodities are going to cost. It's all about money, you see, and power and control. What rights are they going to work on taking away from us? And so with these anomalies going on, you have these companies, these corporate interests, pandering, pimping themselves off to the politicians in Washington, and they do this on a state level and a local level. Don't kid yourself. And they do this with the doctors who are the ones legally authorized to administer their medications to make sure that there's a chain of command here so that you don't go after them, you go after the doctor. And the doctor's paying the same outrageous insurance rates that we pay for health care. And I'm not in favor of socialized health care, but I am in favor of equally accessible health care and reasonably priced health care, and doing away with a fiat monetary system. I'm for that. And I'm for getting rid of usury credit systems. When they've taken away your means of earning a living, how the hell do they expect you to make a living and pay your bills? So there is a motive and there's an intention there, and it doesn't take a rocket scientist, as I said in the beginning of the show. It doesn't take a genius or a spiritual guru to figure out. Just a child's discernment can show you something's not right in this picture. Now, we know the Bilderberg Group picked Hillary Clinton, and yesterday she was cleaning up in the election, although she started out really poorly. She came in second in Iowa, and then all of a sudden she had this miraculous turnaround in New Hampshire. Pardon me. Now, with her miraculous turnaround in New Hampshire, immediately there were challenges to the count of the vote. And so the Granny Warriors, a group of elderly ladies, senior citizens from North Carolina, who have been going around the country campaigning for Ron Paul and bringing awareness about his campaign to the masses, these ladies got the money together. They raised enough money to enact a recount. PayPal held the money back for some time. Albert B. Howard, a presidential candidate from the state of Michigan, stepped in and put up $55,000. Now, why it cost him $55,000, and it only cost Dennis Kucinich $2,000 to enact a recount is beyond me. Now, I recently read that he only put up the first $2,000. I don't quite buy that. Someone was confused. But nevertheless, the Granny Warriors evidently got their money from PayPal. They were quite embarrassed about what had happened. And they repaid the money to Albert Howard. But Albert Howard has been there in New Hampshire overseeing the goings-on of the recount. They delayed the recount, which was supposed to have started on January 8th, for some 20 days. The recount began, the recount was stalled, the recount began again, it was stalled, and a group of citizens went to the polling places and to the locations where the recounts were to occur and witnessed unsealed boxes. And I watched the videos when it first came to my attention, and I was appalled at what I saw. These boxes are torn. They're marked sealed. They have these seals on them. And they actually entered the room on the second day of a recount at a particular location where they called the press in for this massive display, this showing to the public, and all the TV and radio media were there and the newspapers, and they took them to see that the boxes of ballots were locked up in a vault. Then the next day, the group of citizen photographers, we'll call them videography warriors, if you want to call them that, two ladies and a couple of gentlemen companions that were helping shoot the film, went and approached the election workers and asked them why they were closing up for the night, leaving all the ballot boxes unguarded in this room. And they hemmed and hawed and didn't want to answer the question. And basically she asked the question, why are you not locking these up in the vault like you did the night before? You had this big show for the media that these votes were being protected and there wasn't going to be any hanky-panky, and now they're left open in this room. Well, they said, well, we're going to seal the door. Well, they sealed the door with a piece of paper. Basically what it was one of these box seals, and it was a double wooden door, and they closed it, and then they put this piece of tape at a 45-degree angle where the two doors joined together. And even on tape, one of the girls is saying, you're sealing that with a piece of paper? That's ridiculous. Well, the next day, they arrived early. They arrived before all the vote counters got there, and they had been assured that the building was only entered or able to be entered with a key card, and it keeps an electronic data record. Watch out for that right there, because if they can change the votes, they can change that little card's record. They found, despite the assurances that no one could get in there, they found the room wide open, the lights on when they got there, and no one was around. And they found a box full of these stickers. So they took one of the stickers, and they peeled it off, and they put it on one of the boxes of ballots on the side. They didn't tamper with the seal that was on the top of the box. When they laid the tape out, The man who accompanied them, who was assisting them, decided he was going to pull this tape up, and it came right up with no problem. The seal was completely intact. The box was completely intact, as if the seal had never touched the box, as if the box never had been touched by any glue or anything that would mar the finish on it. So these seals are... They're a bit magical. You can take them off and put them on, take them off, put them on, take them off and put them on. Now, I don't know how many times you can do that, but once opens the opportunity for fraud. And here on videotape, they had been promised, they had been assured and reassured, rather begrudgingly, but still reassured that the room was going to be secure, and they were able to enter the room themselves with no one there guarding the ballots. Now, does it take a rocket scientist, does it take a genius to figure out that there was corruption or the potential for corruption there. In fact, it would raise the question, who unlocked the door? Why was it left unattended? Why were all those thousands of ballots left there, sitting there with no one guarding them? And we're talking about people that are going to give a fair, balanced, honest appraisal of what's going on and monitor the situation. Why were there no police officers around there to prevent anything from going on? After all, they were able to get the state highway patrol in New Hampshire to guard the ballots. Yet when they delivered the ballots, the sealed boxes that left the state highway patrol office all of a sudden were unsealed. Boxes had slits in the bottom, slits in the side, slits in the top. You could stick things into the boxes or take things out. They also had a large number of unused ballots that could be recycled, that could be replaced, or could be used to replace the prior existing ballots. Tell me there is not corruption. Now, what are we going to do about this? Are we going to allow this just to occur and say nothing about it? Are we not going to take a stand? Are we not going to demand that this election process start all over again from scratch and have some safeguards, some checks and balances there that everyone can be satisfied that there can be no corruption? Well, you know, now they have these Diebold machines and a couple of other brands of machines run by an out-of-the-country company. Since when do we allow other countries to interfere with our political policies? Well, actually, we've been doing it for hundreds of years. And nothing's really changed. It's just been hidden. It's coming to light now. People are starting to wake up. But the masses are asleep. You've got people that vote for Hillary Clinton because it's time for a woman in the office. Doesn't matter what woman. Too bad Minnie Pearl is not alive right now, because I think Minnie Pearl would have made a great president. After all, she'd been on the planet a lot longer than Hillary Clinton, so she was more experienced. And she was pretty honest, because she never even took her price tags off of her clothes. She was the one that was famous on Hee Haw and some of these other shows, the Grand Ole Opry, for wearing a straw hat that had a price tag hanging right from the brim on the front. So you could see the price of the hat. I mean, it was hilarious. But I would nominate Minnie Pearl. Why not? Let's get a woman in there. But they are so enamored because of brainwashing on celebrity and name recognition and such short memories of the corruption of the Clinton regime. I don't call it an administration because there was no administration. It was just corruption and it was a regime. Just like you see in communist dictatorships. The guy was caught literally with his pants down. Not figuratively, literally he was caught with his pants down. And people would support a woman that stood by this guy through all that? Not many of you would stand next to your spouse through that, let alone a president of a country. But you see, these people hid their perversions from you. And it's not limited to the Clintons. You've got the same thing going on in the Bush family. And which one is worse is hard to tell. But going back to this corruption, you have the mind control element, which is the Bilderberger plan to get everyone to blindly, like sheep, follow the leader and vote for Hillary Clinton. And then they start reporting out, Hillary Clinton's winning in this state, and she's winning in that one, knowing that everyone wants to bet on a winner. They want to be on the winning side. They don't want to be on the losing side, which is the whole reason why they give these results before the precincts are closed, which should be illegal. It should be prevented. But no, the media is part of this whole game. They're part of the game. They're part of the obfuscation of the real truth about what's going on and their real intentions. So you're not going to get the media to admit, hey, we're fudging the records, or we're told what to report on the records, because you've got intelligence agencies and secret societies controlling the outcome because they put out the numbers. And if there should be such a thing as a recount, like what's going on in New Hampshire, let's stick as many wrenches in the works as we can to stop the progress of it, especially since we have all these other caucuses coming up, these other elections that are coming up. And so we cannot let the results of vote fraud get out. Now, they say there was just a handful of votes that Al Gore lost the presidential election to Bush in 2000, yet there have been larger margins of error, counting error, whether it's the electronic ballots or the hand-cast ballots. And they have all of these lousy excuses for, well, the person didn't use the right type of pen. Well, you handle that by giving them a pen, or you tie a pen chain it to the table like they do in the banks. When you go to sign your check, they have that little pen sticking up. And you can't steal the pen because it's attached to the chain. The only way you can steal it is to break the chain off. So people aren't going to steal that pen. What are they doing? You mean to tell me they just allow anybody to come in and just, you know, handle this election any way they want? Well, the reason they would do that is because they got it figured out anyway. The outcome is already predetermined. And they don't want us to challenge that. They don't want the truth to come out. That's the whole issue here behind everything that controls the world. They don't want the truth to come out. You will not hear this on the media because it would be the truth for them to say this. And they dare not print the truth. They dare not publicize the truth. They dare not broadcast the truth. And, you know, the terms that they use in the control that the media uses, you know, they, for lack of other words, they use the word network or working the net. What do you use a net for normally? You use it to catch something. I mean, you use a fish net to catch fish. The bigger the net, the bigger the catch. You use a handheld net with a hoop on it, maybe to catch a bird or a butterfly. They have all these different kinds of nets, and they have a network. The word is right in their terminology as to what they're doing. They're capturing the attention of individuals, or they're controlling. You know, when the fish gets caught in the net, there's not much he can do about where the net goes. So they pull the net out of the water, the fish is going to die from lack of oxygen. Now, when they pull you out of your environment or your element and put you where they want you to, they do that with the net. They do that with your mind. They do that with your body. And they do that to the detriment of your soul. And people allow it to happen. I mean, my suggestion would be turn the TV off. Get rid of it. Disconnect it, because it's used as an eavesdropping device, it's used as a mind control device, and it's going to be continued to be used against you in more ways than you can imagine. Oh, it can't be that bad. The kids are watching cartoons. There is so much suggestive, subliminal, not just advertising, but programming, and that's the other word. A program makes a computer operate the correct way. Or it gives the computer the ability to perform a certain function or a certain task, to manage information or to create something visual or auditory. It's all related to your senses. So they use the computer can be a very creative and positive invention if it's used for the purpose it was created. But you have to ask yourself, was it created for that, or was it another extension of a television? Was it a morphing of the concept of mind control in the TV? I wonder what kind of subliminal signals they put over the internet, but that's what we have, and that's what we have to use right now. I presume we'll find out someday, and when we do, we'll put a stop to it. But this control, they're obsessed with control. They're obsessed with you not finding out the truth. And so they will not publish the truth. They will not broadcast the truth. They will not tell you what the truth is, because it will also reveal their complicity in the obscuring or the concealment of the truth and the deception they use, the tactics they use to deceive you, to be dishonest, to lie. Now, just on the basis of the little bit of information I just gave the listening audience, those of you who are listening right now, think for a moment that if these things are true, then very possibly Iowa and definitely New Hampshire were rigged elections. Now, do you think there's going to be any difference in South Carolina or Louisiana? They also have the same charges in Louisiana. In 2000, they kept thousands of black voters from voting, which would have definitely put Al Gore in the lead, and he would have won the election. We had corruption in the state of Ohio, and they destroyed the records. Whoa, my goodness, they destroyed the records in New Hampshire. They destroyed electronic records that by law they're supposed to keep for at least 22 months. They have no way to go back and check the vote. So how do you check the vote? But the thing would be to start over. There's no question about it. That's the only solution, is to start over, get rid of the electronic machines, come up with a simple system. It doesn't have to cost a lot of money. Grocery stores use it all the time. You give people a receipt. They punch in their vote in the machine. It gives them a piece of paper. It records what it is, just like, you know, they give you your receipt at the grocery store, but they have a backup copy. And that helps them to balance what's in the cash drawer and what products they sold. You have so many votes available, and so many votes get used up, and you have receipts to back it all up. That's simple. Now, you don't have to have all of your personal data in there, because your vote is supposed to be a private thing and should not be used to retaliate how you voted or to retaliate against you because you didn't support some particular cause. Our forefathers thought this out pretty well. They thought it through pretty well, and it worked for a long time. I suspect for the last 60 to 100 years, we've had corrupt elections. It's just that this time, people are really talking about it and really thinking about it because we're tired of it. It's time it stops. It's sickening. I had a conversation with someone last night after my show. Someone very important to this network. And this person is disgusted with what's going on. I mean, this is not reality. This is not the truth. This is not reality. It's not the reality that we would choose for ourselves. So my question to you, listeners, is why would you allow others to make that choice for you? Well, I'm too busy, or, you know, I don't have time for that. You know, got to get the kids to the soccer game. Got to get them to the dentist. Got to get them into bed. You know, we all have those issues. We all have those issues. You think I don't have bills to pay because I'm on a radio show where I do research? You think I don't have bills to pay? You think I don't need to eat? Think I don't have obligations? Things to take care of? And I put my own comforts last. Which I don't think life should be that way, but that's a choice that those of us that make a certain amount of sacrifices if that's even an appropriate word, those of us that are stepping out and trying to lead by example, for one thing, or bring some awareness to the masses. So the excuses really are made to please the excuse maker. That's something I learned at a very young age. Excuses are made to please the excuse maker. If you're not happy with the situation, you should be doing your part to try to change it. Or to change it. Let's leave the word try out. You should be doing your part to change things for the better. They seem to be going downhill at a very rapid pace. And the rest of the country is watching us, as I mentioned at the the rest of the world. The rest of the world is watching this country in the hopes that we will figure out what's going on and figure out a way to fix it. We have to start speaking out, and we have to stand up to this oppression, this corruption. We must do that. We have no choice. Because if you don't do it now, in a very short time, it's going to be too late to do anything about it. And when you come to your senses and learn that it's too late, some say it's already too late. And they may be right. Still, to do nothing about it, you get absolutely no result other than you get that result, nothing. What little bit of freedom we have has been turned into another term, which they like to call liberty. This country and its foundation is a republic, yet they like to call it a democracy, and it's not a democracy. It was created as a republic. In fact, the word democracy is just the word they use. What does democracy mean? Freedom of speech? We don't have that. Freedom of choice? We don't have that. We've got 23 million laws preventing us from sneezing. And pretty soon they'll have laws preventing us from using the bathroom for the purpose it was created. They just take the rights away, they sign them away, we're oblivious to the fact that they're doing it, and when any of us who are aware of it bring it to your attention, you say, well, that can't be. The eyes glaze over, and boy, you would think you just drank a bottle of scotch or a bottle of vodka or smoked a joint. Your eyes glaze over, and you become numb and immune and shut off. You're in denial. So how do we deal with this election problem? My suggestion is that we stand up once and for all and act like adults and act more like Americans and stop this crap about, well, Republicans are doing this or the Democrats are doing this. Don't you see that they have intentionally divided us just by the establishment of political parties? What would be so wrong if we have one creator of the universe? Why do we need all these divisions in the leadership of our country? Why can't one person lead our country honestly, with integrity and dignity, without being perverted sexually, without being a drug user or a drug dealer or a bank thief, a criminal, a murderer? Why can't we have leadership like that? Maybe it's because we've determined on some level that we don't deserve it. And so we have what we deserve. This is what I've been talking about on my Evident Footprints show, about us taking responsibility. I hear a lot of people complaining. Now they're trying to blame Ron Paul, and it very well might be partially his fault for the outcome of some of these elections. He's getting very low percentage rates. Nothing higher than 15% in one state, and that was North Dakota. The other states, it's between 3 and 8%. And we know that these are not actual figures. We know these are fudged. So the issue is to get an honest election here. It's not to get the media to report the truth. The whole election is a scam and a sham. So what are we going to do about it? Are we just going to sit back and do nothing about it? Individually, you're waiting for me, or you're waiting for the next guy, the guy that lives across the street from you, or your next door neighbor, to take the action. Maybe he'll do it, and then I won't have to mess around with it. You people don't know what it is not to have freedom. And you don't know what it is to be herded into a concentration camp. And you know so little about what's going on. Google concentration camps in the U.S. Just put that in a Google search engine and watch what comes up. Google cattle cars and watch how many cattle cars they have with shackles in them and guillotines. And here in our country, and you think you're voting for the next president of the United States because you think it's time for a woman to be in the office. Or you think it's time for a black man, or a green man, or a pink man, or a yellow man, or a green man. I don't care about the color. The point is, the reasons are not valid. You had a woman in the White House when all this chaos was going on from 1992 all the way up to the year 2000. You had a sex addict that couldn't keep his hands off of underage interns who really were Mossad agents in disguise to entrap him, to get him into a compromising situation where he was blackmailable. But you know so little about the underworld that controls everything that you think, oh, well, Bill Clinton, well, you know, he wasn't that bad. It was the Republicans attacking him. And now they're saying, well, it's the Democrats attacking Bush while there's trillions of dollars being stolen. The corruption is through and through. And what they teach you in school about the checks and balances in government, you know, you have the legislative and the judicial and the executive branch. These are all the checks and balances that we have honest government, and that in itself is a lie. So what are we going to do about this election? Are we going to voice our discontent, our refusal to accept the results, and demand that it start over again from scratch? And heck, they're raising money out of thin air to create war and murder millions of people. They're creating it through the Federal Reserve. Let the Federal Reserve pay for it. Let the banks pay for it. They've ripped off enough money from us. Let them pay for it. Let the foreign countries from which these secret organizations exist and where from which they came, let them pay for the redoing of these elections. Forget about recounts, because they've stolen the votes, they've stolen the records. The only way you're going to get an honest election is to start from scratch again, before it goes any further. And I don't know if this is even making sense to anybody, but it's beyond most people's comprehension, I'm sure. Now, in light of that, and I think I beat that dead horse half to death and probably sent it back on its way to its next life. So I'm going to move on. Yesterday sent out a press release, and I want to encourage anyone who's really interested in reading the news. Of course, look at our TNT Trusted News Trader page. There's a lot of content that's uploaded by people like yourselves, and there are issues there that everyone feels personally that they want to bring to everyone else's attention. So there is quite a bit a variety in what we have posted. I can't really report on a lot of what's here without going into sometimes a very long read. It's difficult to paraphrase sometimes what people are saying because some of this is news, some of this is some of these are links to other sites, some of these are someone's outlook or their perception, their analysis of a particular situation, and that's fair. But it just can't cover all of it, so I want to urge you to go to the TNT index page and have a look at some of these things. So I was going through earlier today, and I take a look at these about every day if I can. And I had come across a response to a piece that I wrote yesterday on my website, directlightproductions.com. It's a press release, and I intended to get this out to the whole country. Now it is getting out. Other sites are picking it up, and some people are commenting on it. And there was a reference to this piece that I wrote, which is basically a disclosure of what I call high crimes and treason. I left the misdemeanors out because I don't really think there are any misdemeanors here. We're talking about the embezzlement of millions of dollars. So I'm not going to couch my words. They're in this piece that I wrote, and I urge you to go to directlightproductions.com. Click on the news page, and that you'll get a menu. You have to wait a moment because there's quite a bit of material that has to load into that page. Then you can click on a couple of links down where it says press release. Click on that, and you can read it for yourself. Now, when I came to the TNT site today, I noticed that the Mad Dog had posted something here, and it was... Actually, it was posted quite a long time ago, or a few weeks ago, mid-December. But I thought it was interesting because this person was, and it's Billy M. I don't know Billy M., but Billy M. was referring to a piece that Christopher Story wrote about the same issue I wrote this press release, and that's the bank scandals that are going on. And we're talking about the manipulation of trillions of dollars, the hypothecation and the theft of your good money being put into these duplicated or hypothesized funds. We're talking about derivatives, hedge funds, mortgages, bank deposits. These monies are just shifting from bank to bank at the rate of trillions and trillions of dollars, sometimes 100 trillion in a pop. And somebody has that pass through their fingertips for a tenth of a second, and they literally earn billions of dollars, hundreds of billions of dollars, like in a tenth of a second, just having had access to that account number and these arrangements that they have as they launder the money from bank to bank. Now, these funds are being traced, and it's a pretty serious issue because it's the real cause, it's the smoking gun, so to speak, for why we have a failing economy. They tried blaming the economy on a young stock trader in Marseille, France. And he was trading in vanilla stocks. I'm presuming there were futures. To the tune of $7 billion, they're claiming that $7 billion is about to bring down the world economy. Well, actually, the true amount related to that, and not necessarily blamed on that one individual, but related to it, he's the fall guy, he's the Lee Harvey Oswald, is more like $700 billion, okay? So you're nearly at three-quarters of $1 trillion, you see? They're dealing in trillions. Even quadrillions they're dealing in. So the amount of money that this young man lost for his clients and possibly gained in some way for himself and his buddies was about $7 billion. And they're putting the story out there that this is the cause for the collapse of the U.S. economy. Okay, I couldn't get, if I had pet pigs, I couldn't get them to wallow in that story. So, I can't believe I even said that, but that's true. Christopher Story had written an update on the Watergate scandal, and it was basically somebody approaching George Bush. And I thought this was interesting that Billy M. referred to that and then suggested that someone contact a person. And I'm going to give you a name and an email address, so grab a pen and paper if you don't have one. This is someone to contact about bringing the awareness of the public corruption, or I should say political corruption that's going on in terms of raiding these bank accounts of money that belongs to Ambassador Lee Wanta and his Ameritrust group, intended to go into the U.S. Treasury to earn $200 billion a day. $200 billion a day we could be earning, and that as that grows, that amount grows. And so after a short time, it'll be $400 billion a day, or half $1 trillion a day, and maybe even $1 trillion a day. But their slimy, thieving hands have gotten the money, and they're playing games with it, and they're keeping it out of the Treasury, and it's not being used to fix our streets or our bridges. And, you know, I drive around my hometown and the surrounding areas, and it's evident to me that they're driving this country into the ground, no pun intended. Their intention is to bring it to its knees. Forget about fixing the roads. They're not going to do it. They don't have the money because they're too busy stealing it. And we're paying the taxes for that. So he suggests Christopher Gray, PR, which I'm sure stands for Public Relations, for Army Investigations. And he is the CIDC there, Chief of Army Investigations, and there is a number in Virginia. Now, I haven't checked this out to any great extent yet. I may do some research on this. But the web address, if you want to email or go to the website, I guess, would be www.cid, you can understand why it looks like the word old, .army.mil/. Again, www.cid.army.mil/. Or you can call at the phone number, area code 703-806-0372. Now, what would you ask such a person? Well, I would ask him why the Army's not investigating the theft of the Leo Wanta trillions of dollars that were awarded him in a settlement with the government in the year 2005. Actually, it was December 2005. The government should have started paying that money to him in June of 2006, but they stole it. When I say the government, I'm saying those at the top of the government have been behind the theft. George H.W. Bush, Bill Clinton, Hillary Clinton, and George W. Bush, as well as Dick Cheney, Michael Chertoff, Henry M. Paulson, the Secretary of the Treasury, they're all involved in it now. There is no doubt about it. They are involved in this. So we have recourse here. Let's see if the military will do something about that. So the chief of the Army investigative unit there should be looking at this corruption. It's in the military's interest. After all, we have soldiers overseas fighting wars against enemies they've created by going over there and starting a war. Not their doing, but following the orders of the insane commander-in-chief and those that are nothing more than warmongers, part of the military-industrial complex, part of the big corporate machine that's making money hand over fist. So we must do something about what is going on. We have to start taking our country back, and we have to start speaking about it on that level and see where it takes us. I'm not condoning violence here. I'm condoning confronting this and stop pretending like it's not happening, because it's happening. You can't blame Ron Paul for the people who didn't vote for him. You can't blame Ron Paul for the people that didn't even vote. Yet, I think there are some things that he could be doing to bring more awareness to people, and definitely he should be talking about the voting corruption. We should be talking about the voting corruption. Why are, you know, he's running for president. It's not his job right now to make sure the election is fair. We are the people. We are the country. So it is stated in the Constitution. And in the preamble to the Constitution, the preamble doesn't make it law. It doesn't make it constitutional. But either that's window dressing, or if it's the way it really is, then we need to act like that and take action. Now, let's keep our eyes and ears open, and let's use discernment in the next week. I'm not sure the dates of the up and coming elections, but if at all you question the results of this election, you should voice your opinion. You should band together with others. You know, there is great power and strength in numbers. And if you're with people of like mind, you will come to the conclusion that, yes, there has been rampant corruption, that these voting machines are rigged, that the ballot counting process or the recounting process is rigged, and that we are not going to put up with it anymore. With that, we are out of time. I want to thank you for listening to the TNT News Hour. I hope you learned something today. If not, tune in next week or Monday through Friday at the same time, and maybe you will learn something. Anyway, thanks for listening. Thanks to Don Newsom for making this show possible. And I'll see you on this show next week, same time, same place, or listen in to my Evident Footprints at 10 p.m. Pacific time, Monday through Friday. See you tonight, or see you next week. Bye now.